anything else is going to change on this football team.
Going to be really interesting to see how Butch Jones responds Monday when he's asked some of those questions. Because here's the thing about Butch Jones that you know. The guy does work hard. The guy is
very
a good
hard.
Moral family man. But the guy is really insecure and really
and
sensitive.
And it
really
looks like
sensitive.
He's squandering the best talent we've had in 15 years.
He's got to feel like the time I brought two of the best steaks home you've ever seen, and I went out on the grill to show my wife I could do it. And Mike, I burned these things like hockey pucks. Hey, thank you, brother. Great talking to you.
No, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
You made some incredible guys. These callers are making some incredible points tonight.
Yeah, fantastic.
Is it possible that the anger is overweighing the inebriation, causing for rare moments of clarity on the fifth quarter this evening?
Just a terrible loss, wasn't it?
I know one thing. Butch better get a bigger back pocket, because he's going to have a list that ain't going to fit in just a normal size pocket.
What do you mean by that? Loss. What are you talking about?
Well, he was keeping a list of people who
he did say
had
that.
Complaints about his football program. this is the first really inexcusable loss he's had. He's going to have some rough days ahead.
865-200-5402. Let's go back to our phones. Let's.
By the way, Tony, I've got a super scientific Twitter poll going right now. This is pretty unbelievable. What's better, being ready, being prepared? 400 votes cast. It's right down the middle, 50-50. 50% say being ready, 50% being prepared. You could cast the deciding votes. The Chads are hanging right now on Twitter.
What does it mean? What are you guys talking about? I don't understand that quote. Why is that going over my head? Why is this happening? Where are we?
Well, Butch is insinuating that one is better than the other, that it's better. I think he's saying that it's better to be prepared than to be ready, but I'd rather be ready than prepared, because I think you could be prepared. I think you could be ready while being prepared, but I don't know if you could be prepared and ready at the same time.
Was I ready and prepared and excited about this today? Are you kidding me?
I don't know if Butch is prepared for the poop storm of epic proportions that is developing in Knoxville and ready for his return.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Butch Jones has never felt anything like the pressure he's going to feel this week here. Do you guys doubt that?
No, I don't doubt that a bit.
Let's go back to our phones. It sounds like he's trying to, and I don't get off on what he says and doesn't say. And Bino's pretty proud of me for that, because I said early on, I'm not going to let this guy and his goofiness ruin the experience for me, but stuff like that really does piss you off. Like, what does that mean? Prepared versus ready. So the staff had them prepared, but the players weren't ready?
That's what I think that he meant. We were prepared, but for whatever reason, we weren't ready to play.
That's an unacceptable thing for
now, Tony, I may be dead wrong on that. I mean, half of what he says, I need an English-to-English interpreter, but that's what I take out of it.
Back to our phones we go.
And what comes first? Are you ready and then prepared? You have to be prepared to be ready, right? You can't be ready without being prepared.
Wow. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us.
Tonight. I'm going to give you guys about 30 more minutes, then I'm going to populate the bedroom.
I'm going to populate something myself here in a little bit. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Russell, Bino, everybody. Hope y'all are making it.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate y'all being on the air tonight. This is Trey from Nashville.
Thank you, Trey.
Look, a couple of observations here, and I've called in before, and I kind of work in the line of work that you guys are in. And, you know, looking at this Tennessee team, after the beating against Alabama, and I do take a lot of that towards injuries, I do think we'd have lost to Alabama. I just don't think it would have been that bad if we had some key players at positions. But going into this game and with 2 weeks to prepare, and we go back to this horrible quote tonight, and I can't believe it. Well, I can believe it came out of Butch Jones's mouth, but Russell made your props on the poll quote. That was actually pretty hilarious. Two observations. First of all, everybody in Knoxville, and if you're a Tennessee fan, you love what Josh Dobbs has done for the university. He's a great ambassador. He's a great kid. He's going to grow up and do great things, and he'll be able to come back and, you know, I'm sure alumni matters wise, he's going to be great for the university. But there's things we've noticed over the last 2 years that have not changed. The kid cannot pass the football. And I'm not hating on the kid. I'm just being realistic here. Every ball that we see from him is either a post across the middle to a tight end, it's an underthrown ball down the sideline, or it's an 8 yard out when he's scrambling outside the pocket. And the reason that I say this is that I thought before the season started that Butch was going to go with Dobbs no matter what. The ship was either going to go two ways. You're going to continue, you're going to get to Atlanta, and you're going to play for a title game. Or there are going to be a couple losses we did not expect, and he's not going to make a change, and it's going to stick with Dobbs. Now, do I think he makes a change by the end of the year? No, because he's already came this far with Josh Dobbs. He's going to let the kid play out. That's one thing I don't understand, because in this league, when you have running backs like we do, with Kelly, Kamara, and Hurd, when they're fully healthy, if you have a passing quarterback, you're going to be able to do very well on offense. I don't care who you're playing, because the talent that we have at wide receiver and with the running back position, offensive line has been kind of iffy, and I understand that because of injuries. But I will say this, is that Dobbs, unfortunately, and there's been key situations this year where he's thrown interceptions. The ball that he had Josh Smith open just on a streak down the field, and he had him. If he throws it 2 or 3 seconds earlier, he's got him, and it's probably a 40, 50-yard game. But he let the cornerback come back and get up on him, and which caused the interception. So I put most of this tonight on play calling and Dobbs, because I don't understand why we don't just run the ball up the middle. When you see the kind of gains we're getting out of Kelly, that's one thing that sticks out to me. Two things, and a lot of people are either going to disagree with this, they're going to hate on this, is what it is. From just stepping back and look at it from outside the program and not being in Knoxville, being in Nashville, Jalen Hurd, unfortunately, there's something going on with this kid, and I know that media members in the town of Knoxville have got to know something else that they're putting out there. I've heard things here in Nashville. I'm not going to publicly come out and say it, because that's just not the right thing to do towards the kid. But what I am getting at, there's a reason why this guy has been sitting on the sideline and not been playing. I don't buy the head injury against Georgia. Now, I will say he took a pop on that play, and I understand that. But I don't buy that we're sitting here 4 weeks now, and the kid's still sitting on the sideline, and he's playing in the second half, but then he stops getting carries. I think there's something going on in this locker room here, and I don't think people have really wanted to talk about it, because this team has still had a chance to get to Atlanta. But now, since unfortunately the wheels are starting to come off the truck, I think things are going to start coming out here. And look, a lot of people that say, oh, Jalen Hurd is not a good running back. You weren't saying that last year.
Amen.
When the kid was pounding on players, you know, and busting off 20, 30-yard runs up the middle and just trucking defenders. But what I am saying now is that I think something's gotten to the kid's head, because there's not a reason that we should be playing a four-string running back if Jalen Hurd's sitting there on the sideline. I don't think it's injuries. I think there's a couple players on this team that have let it really get to their head. And I think one of them was Preston Williams, who is now gone. And I think another one, unfortunately, is Jalen Hurd. I think that it's just gotten to his head where he wants to be after Tennessee. And I literally think he's checked out with the university. Because there was one play tonight that I could have seen that maybe he'd have got hurt on. And he got popped on a run right outside on the right side in the second half on a sweep. And that's the only play that I could have seen where he got hurt. So I don't know what y'all's opinions are, and I really hate the fluff that some of the Knoxville media likes to put out there, and they just, you know, since pretty much University of Tennessee is paying for their websites and gives them material, and they can use that and they can run with it, that's fine. It is what it is. That's what we call journalism, unfortunately, in today's world.
Yep.
But I don't buy this Jalen Hurd crap anymore. I think there's some stuff going on in that program, and I think at the end of the season, it will come out. But right now, all it's doing is hurting Tennessee. Guys, I appreciate everything y'all do. Thank y'all so much for being on the air tonight, Tony. I hope you got about an hour left in you and you get some rest, buddy. And let's stay as a community. Let's rally around this team. I know it's tough times here, but we're Tennessee, man. We've been through this, and we'll get through it together. And whatever happens at the end of the road, it happens. But go Vols, and I appreciate you guys.
Around the room, let's go. Dubsy, Jalen Hurd, we were talking off the thing tonight as we visit with each other a little bit, as we do. Didn't look right tonight from the very beginning.
I wonder, and this is pure reckless and dangerous speculation
right.
on my part, but that's what the fifth quarter's for. I wonder if he has concussion issues. You know, he had a concussion his first year against Vanderbilt that cost him most of that game.
Yep.
I do believe for a fact that it was a concussion that knocked him out of the Georgia game. And it seems like he might have had one, another one. So I wonder if that, and if he's just susceptible to that type of injury, as we've seen certain players are. I mean, I wonder if that could perhaps be a career-threatening situation. And I understand that why he would want that kept quiet and why it's not addressed publicly is because he feels like that might be detrimental to his pro prospects. Pro teams don't want to draft a running back who has concussion issues.
Right.
So it's just, I understand there's a lot of speculation out there, but that's my theory.
I'm no doctor. I know this. He was concussed against Georgia. He was in a dark room a good bit of that week. The rumors about him and Butch Jones having a blow up as per his family were not true. As per people, sources I have around that football team were not true. And if you remember, I'm the person that told you about the whole Dooley thing and when things unraveled up there in Kentucky and assistant coaches didn't even get on the team bus to go back with the team and how the quarterback at the time, Tyler Bray, said he didn't want to go to no effing minor league effing bowl game. Anyway. Jalen Hurd, something is weird about him because tonight he was unplugged from the very beginning, and it was a game where he was going to be featured.
Yeah. I mean, you thought that South Carolina has a soft rushing defense. Jalen Hurd is should be healthy now.
That's a buck and a half for him.
Yeah, you're thinking, okay, man, he's just going to grind out 120, 130 yards or something. And, you know, John Kelly's going to have a big game. And
shame.
Dobbs is going to get loose a couple of times, and it never really happened.
Bino, your thoughts before we go back to the phones.
This is not the Jalen Hurd that we watched for two seasons.
Nope.
Hasn't been for whatever reason since early in the Georgia game. He looks like he has a physical issue to me, but that could also be just a lack of true desire to be out there running the football. But my wife pointed out something tonight to me, and I hate to read body language and things going on the sideline, but after he scored the touchdown and he came off,
right.
Very few of his teammates came up to him and gave him any type of congratulatory. You know, that's just odd. Usually you'll get 10 chest bumps before you can get over there to the sidelines.
It's really interesting. And your wife is a sharp cookie, man. She's pointed some stuff out in the past that ended up being there, you know? And my wife's like that, too. My wife is an athlete for a long time, and she's a big believer in body language as well in terms of a lot of times what you see is what you get. And I don't know. I don't know. It's a mystery because he's not the same. He's not even close.
How about the...
It's not even in the same realm.
How about the poor kid from Florida? I have no idea how to pronounce his name. I'll go with Filzam. For the one play and just basically spiking the ball out of Dobbs' hands on that one play. He made his mark on the game.
Strip sack by our running back.
Yeah.
You gotta say this. The ball's loose, and nobody from our team gets on that ball. Like, what the hell are we doing? It was just the
first
night.
Half of the season, Tennessee is they're getting to those balls, right? And now they're not getting there anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Welcome in. It's the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Our top performer of the game presented by our friends at Performance Medicine coming up. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, this is me. This is me from Athens, Tennessee. How you doing?
Hey, man. Appreciate you being there. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Just wanted to call in, and, you know, I'm really disappointed with this football team right now. I'm sure most ball fans across the country are. But, you know, when we're going to call a spade, you know, we're just not a smart football team right now. I mean, our football team plays like our football coach. He's Yosemite Sam on the sidelines. He doesn't know how to motivate anybody. And when the game gets on the line, he folds like a cheap tent. You know, it's strange because lack of discipline is a new thing. We've seen a lot of things that I didn't like in the Butch Jones era, but lack of discipline hasn't been one of them until this season with a veteran team. Doesn't make any sense. And, you know, I think motivation is probably one of the better things that he does. And we've won so many games right at the end this year, so they perform for him at key points in games. Tonight was just all of our warts coming together at once.
Well, you know what tonight was to our friend down there in Athens. Tonight's game was, you've done this all year, and now you're going to pay.
Yeah.
You've done this all year. You've done this from the very beginning of this season. This team, for most of the season, has not gotten out of second gear. They haven't. They've taken halves off. They've had terrible turnovers. They've been lax. They've taken stupid penalties. They've done that all year. Tonight, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
And eventually that happens. The magic ends, you know. The magic carpet ride that was 2016, that, I mean, the air is out of that balloon now.
You know, Bill Parcells said you are who your record says you were. But it was funny. Up until tonight, we probably weren't what our record said we were. We were really, really fortunate to be sitting there at 5-2.
The conversation nobody wants to have right now. What if Juwan Jennings doesn't come down with that miracle catch, and we're talking about a 4-game losing streak right now and a 500 football team?
Mm. Wow. Well, at this point in time in the season, I don't really know where we go as a football team. I want to say there's some light at the end of the tunnel. But at the same time, after what I saw tonight, losing to a 18-year-old kid down in Columbia, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just been too rough for us Tennessee fans over the years. Yep. I mean, when are we going to catch a break, guys?
Amen.
I mean, enough of this stuff.
Let me throw this at you. I want your thoughts, and I want your thoughts, Russell. This is from Paul Fortenberry. Somebody just tweeted this at me. This is an incredible quote from the head coach at Tennessee in light of tonight. I said this was going to be more taxing than the first 7 weeks. It's going to be a grind. Butch Jones on the stretch starting with South Carolina. What in the world? How in the world? Yeah, we're all speechless. Okay, hey, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Go Vols.
Go Vols right back at you. Let's get to Atlanta.
Now, that was the quote he made before the game earlier in the week.
Is that right?
I think so, because people were...
it's still silly.
People were giving him... Well, I mean, it's almost sillier in retrospect now. It's like, why would you say that before the game?
You're only a 13-point favorite, dude. It's like, what in the hell? What was the quote about prepared and ready? Every time you say this, it just makes my head hurt more.
Butch Jones.
Okay.
earlier today, after the game tonight, said, we learned about the value of being ready versus the value of being prepared. 55% of my Twitter followers say it's better to be prepared. 45% say they'd rather be ready. I got to go with ready.
I was born ready.
Green there.
I was born ready. What the hell does that? Back to our phones we go.
Tony, can I poke just one drop of magical thinking in here?
Go ahead. I need some magical thinking for your next call in.
I'm sick to my stomach tonight, and this is magical thinking, but if Arkansas beats Florida next Saturday, we'll go into the following Saturday playing Kentucky at home, and with Florida still with LSU to go on the 19th, if Arkansas beats Florida, things will look entirely different on November the 12th than they do tonight.
Oh, driving home tonight.
We'll feel like if we beat Kentucky on the 12th,
yep,
that LSU's going to beat Florida on the 19th. And then we'll be back in control of our own destiny.
Driving home tonight, I said I still think we're in Atlanta. I still believe that. Now, the question is, here's the question. We beat Kentucky. Kentucky's running the ball. We can't stop the run. And if what I saw from Shy Tuttle, if what I saw from Shy Tuttle tonight is what I thought happened, we're even thinner now.
Yeah.
Kentucky's got some big 230-pound bruiser.
Better damn believe it, brother. Just like that kid at Auburn. Those are two guys you don't want to tackle. And we can't stop anybody running the football. Anybody.
Guys, I would tell you that Kentucky will never, ever, ever beat us in Knoxville when there's anything on the line. But this year's been strange in every form or fashion.
No doubt
whether
about
we've
it.
Been winning or whether we've been losing, it's been strange. So
back to the phones.
I'm not going there.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. I thank my friends at Smartway and your Garza Law Firm for presenting this commercial break free tonight, this thing we call the Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. All lines are jammed, and yes, it is 1:29 in the Eastern Time Zone. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys, this is Sharp. What's up?
Hey, man, welcome in, brother.
It looked to me like our team just thought all we had to do was show up. They've been looking through Las Vegas odds. They've been listening to the Knoxville sports media and their fans talking about how Dormany's going to get some playing time because they're going to blow them out. And if anything we should know after this season, the way we struggled with App State and Ohio and went down 14-0 to Virginia Tech, and especially in the SEC, none of these games are easy. None of them have ever been easy. None of them will ever be easy. But I was going to ask you guys on that first touchdown drive of South Carolina had, did Muschamp go for it on fourth down and got a first down?
Yes, he did.
I believe he did. And when I saw him do that, I was thinking Butch would have punted right then. He made a statement.
Yes, he would have. Yes, he would have.
And the caller mentioned earlier, right before they scored their first touchdown, they fumbled. I'm not sure if he fumbled. They said he was down. It was when you're making $4.11 million a year, plus bonuses, plus this, plus that, that was absolutely inexcusable not to call a timeout and have that play reviewed. There is absolutely no excuse for that. If you don't know any more than that, you don't need to be coaching. And he's done it time and time again over the years.
Just not a feel guy, man. He's just not a feel guy. He's a lot of things. But feel the game, feel it, He just doesn't feel it, man. He just doesn't.
Okay. Same drive. Botman was burned and flagged repeatedly on the first touchdown drive. They started picking on him from the get-go. We've got Warrior sitting over there on the bench. They eventually put Barry back there, put Evan Barry back there. I'm not sure if he was in right at the beginning, but, you know, when your opponent knows that's where to throw and they're throwing long passes over his head and he's getting penalized for, holding or pass interference, maybe our offensive coaching staff should know not to put him back there. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
Bino, your thoughts.
You know, I just can't believe that Butch would put – I can't believe if he thought that Warrior was the best option that he wouldn't put him out there, because we're talking about two freshmen. You know, we're not talking about a freshman. They'll err a lot of times on the side of the veteran, but rarely will they put a freshman out there if he's not better than the other one. And I believe that Nigel, I could be wrong about this, I believe Nigel's the one that blew the coverage on the blitz where they threw the wide open touchdown.
Okay.
I
could be wrong about that, but Nigel Warrior looks like he should be out there, but I don't believe any coaching staff is going to put the wrong guy out there that's in the same class as the other one that we're talking about.
Here's something that I'm starting to hear kind of percolate a little bit behind the scenes, Sharp. You guys tell me if this makes any sense to you. I'm hearing this defensive coordinator is so intent on confusing that his players are confused. You were talking before about gap integrity, Russell was this year, and how we just haven't set edges. And it's something that Jerry Glanville said to me before as we've gone along this year. And I'm starting to hear some of the similar complaints that I heard regarding Dave Clawson and this guy. This guy was used to working with I don't know a way to say this without saying it. He's been used to working with guys that have a different type of intellect.
Smarter guys.
Well, you said it. I hear we have some confused people defensively, and that's why we haven't seen a lot of young people come along, because things are confusing on defense.
Well, we've got a lot of smart players back there. TK is a
very smart,
bright kid.
I'm talking about young kids.
Kirkland and Jumper.
I'm talking about getting young kids ready to play. That's one of the reasons why
that Warrior.
We're not seeing young kids play.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm the last person to give some sort of dissertation on X's and O's and things like that. But when I could tell, I mean, they haven't set the edge all year long. I mean, and anybody watches football regularly knows when the team is running wide on you got to have somebody to leverage the play back inside so they can't, and Tennessee just doesn't do that. I mean, you saw it at least 10 times tonight where South Carolina was able to just run right around the corner and get big gains against Tennessee, and that's been a theme all year long since the very first game. They were much better at doing that last year under Jancic.
Well, the first drive, when they scored and they had the fumble that was ruled he was down, had that been reversed, not only would we have recovered the fumble, we would have started out on the 20-yard line. We wouldn't have gotten the ball at the one or the two. The ball went into the end zone. I'm not saying that it would have been reversed, because like you and Bino said, they never even showed a replay, but you have to challenge that. I don't care if you have to run that on the field.
Absolutely.
And Muschamp and his offensive coordinator obviously realized that, because they ran a quick snap. They got up there and snapped it on the first down. Nothing was ever said. Didn't look like Butch was excited. Didn't look like he knew what was really going on right there.
Well, but, it's the first possession of the game. It's inside your own one. Yeah, I mean, again, this gets back to the whole feel thing. You just got to know in the moment. You don't have time to go upstairs, hey, should I challenge this or anything? As a head football coach in the SEC, this is your fourth year doing it. You've been a head coach for – this is your 10th year now as a head coach. You got to know. This situation calls for it. I don't care if it's a long shot. If I do lose the timeout, I lose the timeout. Right. But I have a chance to get the ball back here and prevent them from scoring a touchdown. You do it without thinking about
it. It's a risk-reward deal there. It's a chance worth taking.
Yeah, this was not a game that was going to be played in the 40s, guys.
Mm-mm.
South Carolina's offense is dreadful, and their defense hasn't given up 30 points all year. You knew this was going to be a game in the 20s. You can't just give them 7 points if there's some question on whether or not they scored.
Do you guys, did anybody go back and watch it? Because I watched it in real time. Did anybody here rewind it back from your vantage point? Anybody that I'm talking to
not.
Right now?
No.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Why didn't you damn guys watch the replay? Any of you bastards?
That's a good question.
I will tomorrow.
Well, that's great, Sharp. Watch it back tomorrow. That's not going to help me right now.
But
you guys are all picking on Jones.
Really
None of you
well
bastards watched it back. I'm sorry, Sharp. Go ahead.
I would have called a timeout.
Interesting.
Dobbs had the 49-yard touchdown run that was called back. Thing was in the first quarter. Malone makes a totally unnecessary block. We get called for holding. We were lucky to score right there.
Yes.
And it was the best play that Dobbs had the entire game, running or throwing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to know. It's like stuff we've talked about before. You should know this stuff when you're 7 years old, when you're 8 years old playing youth football.
Mm-hmm.
A guy gets by you, he's going to score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to even make a block. There's no, I mean, just stand there. I mean, when you have games, how many games have we had this year, guys, that have come down to 3 points, 1 point,
incredible.
4 points?
Incredible.
You know, had Jones, just think about this, had he made the timeout, they would have reversed that call and we would have gotten on the 20-yard line. I'd say if you did a stat line, we'd probably have an 80-90% chance to win that game the way it turned out.
Hang on a second, though. How do you know that if you haven't seen the replay? I mean, how do we know it was a fumble?
I'm not saying it was a fumble. I'm just saying if it was. I don't know. And it may be one of those things, Bina would probably know this, if they call you down, it may not even be reviewable. Is that call reviewable, Bina?
No, obviously that play's reviewable because that's constantly what's reviewed, whether you fumble or not.
Yeah.
Unless there's an inadvertent whistle. That's the only way.
Okay.
I mean, you know, in that situation, now people on Periscope unanimously are telling me that he was down, so apparently we had a bunch of people go back and watch
the
thing.
Replay. Okay.
But, I mean, your point is still well taken. I'd still look at it.
Sure.
I'm going to force replay guy. Even if he's clearly down, I'm going to force that replay guy to take a look at that, especially when you're going to rush to the line and snap a ball on me.
Yeah, we're not talking about like a 3 or 4 yard difference with the ball around midfield. It's going in to score inside your own one.
Yep.
Okay. Another thing, Evan Berry, I've heard guys want to pay him to play both ways. He got to play both ways tonight. He played a lot of safety. He looked great. When other guys couldn't get to people on runs, he was there. He was running people down. They run him on an in around on offense. It didn't work, but I was just glad to see him over there and them trying it. The second touchdown that Carolina scored, guys, was that off Dobbs' interception?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we had talked about, I talked to Tony after the Alabama game. One thing that I saw that we did on offense against Alabama that worked was a little slant to one of the tight ends or the receivers, and we didn't hardly do that all night. But the second touchdown South Carolina scored there in that little slant. And these points, the game was so low scoring, just any of these points, which Dobbs just, I'm a huge Dobbs fan, but he just had a horrible game tonight. And him throwing those picks, but why don't we throw these slants? They work. We threw one, I think the first one we threw was in the third quarter to Ethan Wolf. He had a huge first down,
yep.
Like 20, 25 yards.
Yep.
But.
That's a great question. And here's another one. Why don't you target 15 more? I mean, hell, sitting around last weekend, having an off weekend, watching tons of college football. When your team doesn't play, you can do that. You can sit there and watch 10, 12 hours, just get totally into it. Everybody throws jump balls. And officials are so overly officious now that they love throwing that flag at all those levels. They love throwing that flag, whether it's Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday afternoon. They love throwing that flag. Why don't you throw the ball up to 50? Did you see the play he made at midfield tonight? When he tips the ball,
I'd say these pro scouts know who he is.
Oh, come on, man. He's an absolute first-round
He looks like
draft
a grown man playing with a bunch of girls.
And I don't care what people...
He really does.
People tell me how slow he is or this and that, that he can't run. BS. He's a great player. And he will be a pro. Mark that down. He's a physical animal.
Got a little Randall Cobb to him.
You better believe he does.
He's just awesome.
He's a great player. He's the best player by far. Absolutely.
I think Shoop did a good job on some of these defensive back blitzes. We had points in the game where we had two sacks in a row, three sacks in a row. Now we got burned. You're talking about Warrior was in on the play where they kind of got mixed up and they scored. That kind of didn't work there, but a lot of these blitzes, defensive back blitzes he was running was working during the game. I guess it's kind of a risk reward thing. But I guess when you look at it, it just came down to turnovers. We had two interceptions and one fumble.
Here's my question on the risk reward thing. I'm back to that now. And I know it's always easy to second guess. I have an 18-year-old quarterback back there. Why don't I use my line, which is what we've done all year, to get to this quarterback? Why do I have to get exotic with him? It's already complicated enough. And I'm physically better than you. And by the way, my secondary's not very good. So why am I doing this tonight? Like, why did I feel the need in this game to go get all exotic and all complicated on you when my base defense is complicated enough for you and I can create enough pressure as it is? That's what I don't understand about tonight. I mean, I'm glad they've got some sacks, but hear me out here, Sharp. What are they doing? Why would you? It's kind of like the approach on the offensive side of the thing. Why wouldn't you take the ball and just run the damn football? And on defense, tonight is the night you play your base defense. This is the night where you are better than the team you're playing. You don't need that shit, for lack of a better way of saying it, and that's what it is. When you're running a blitz like that, Russell, and it leaves to 7 points, it's stupid. I don't care how many sacks you got. It's stupid.
Well, and part of the genius of Philip Fulmer was whenever he would have some sort of catastrophic loss throughout his career, it would be the next week. It sounds corny, but it's, we're working like hell. We're getting back to basics. It's blocking and tackling. And then they would come out the next week with a super conservative game plan. Nothing fancy, just basic football. And they would, more often than not, just completely take apart an inferior opponent, which is what South Carolina was tonight. They're an inferior
opponent. And Sharp, I'm sorry. I don't understand the point when you have a 18-year-old quarterback who's making his first start in the league. Why are we getting exotic with him?
I think it's just a speed issue. The defensive backs are the guys that have the most speed on our defense, and they can get to him so much more easily. Shy Tuttle was back there one time, and they made him look pretty bad before he got hurt. He was right on top of Bentley, and he just kind of ran right around. And they just, now Vereen and Barnett have the speed, and to get to him. But I think you have to just try to outnumber their offensive line. And when you put one of those defensive, those speed merchant defensive backs up there blitzing, it really worked tonight. I think we had another series where you had like three sacks in a row. But it was like the Alabama game. I think they must have really watched the film of the Alabama game, because a caller had mentioned or said earlier that Dobbs didn't run much. He did try to run several times, and he got tackled worse in this game than he did in the Alabama game on the zone read. They were all over him. And I know Muschamp is supposed to be some kind of defensive guru, and he must have really seen something, because I saw one time Dobbs did a really good fake and kept it, and they were still right on top
of him. Yeah, they were right on top of him. They brought it tonight at him. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Great talking to
you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402. Bino, I know you got to jump. Why are we so getting so exotic with an 18-year-old kid, Bino, back there?
I have no clue, Tony. I think you stated that really well. I thought the same thing as I watched it, that we were taking too many risks for too little reward.
Isn't this what we wanted in the offseason? Isn't this what everybody was so enamored with of Shoup? Oh, he's going to blitz on. He's going to bring the noise.
Not against an 18. Here's the thing. He hadn't done it all year. It's just like this season. It's like you haven't done this all year, but you're going to wait till you're playing an 18-year-old kid to show us how you can blitz?
Well, I think the bigger issue is, you can do that more easily if you've got healthy veteran guys in the secondary. This secondary can't be left out like that.
Nope. I'm playing that thing straight up. I'm playing that kid straight up tonight, and I'm making him earn everything he gets. And if he can get it, more power to him. But that just on its face doesn't make any sense to me. I'm going to make you – the game's already going a million miles an hour for that kid. I'm going to make you play faster. I just, and then you turn around on offense and you run the freaking football. I mean, instead we get this thing is bass ackwards. We're like pressuring a guy who, it's already a huge spot for him. Keep them in front of you. The last thing you want is for them to make a hit a big play over you. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, what are you going to gain out of that? And by the way, we don't turn the ball over with our defense, whether we're hurt or not.
Well,
is that a fair point?
Yeah, that's fair.
We didn't even
interception
come close
hits TK in the hands and he drops it.
Okay.
It seems like tonight, though, if we didn't get pressure, they were picking us apart. So, I mean, I kind of see where Shoup's coming from. You know, when he had time, he picked us apart because we can't cover. Our cornerbacks can't cover. And so if it's either an all or nothing thing, it's like either Tennessee gets a sack or they're going to complete a ball.
Which leads me to this.
It's time for the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game. Presented by Performance Medicine. Perform at the top of your game with Performance Medicine. You can find it online at performancemedicine.net. And now here's the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game.
And we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, East Tennessee's premier integrative family medicine clinic. Look, don't even take insurance. I mean, they're taking the world of healthcare to the next level. Preventative medicine is the way to go. Find out the difference with Performance Medicine online at performancemedicine.net. Dr. Tom Rogers, 3 decades of family doctor, said, you know what? Had enough of that. Had enough of the rigmarole. I'm going to keep people healthy. That's what we're going to do. We're going to change lives. PerformanceMedicine.net. Your Performance Medicine top performer of the game tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, there were two of them. On the Tennessee side of things, none other than John Kelly. 14 carries, 94 yards, had a long of 34, and then they took him out of the game. He averaged 6.7 yards per carry. And on the South Carolina side, how about Jake Bentley tonight? 15 of 20, 167 yards, kept the game in front of him, two touchdowns, finishes with a quarterback rating of 178. And South Carolina also has a pretty nice young running back named Rico Dowdell, who had 127 yards tonight on 27 attempts. And honk if you saw any of that coming, what I just threw at you tonight on a game where the Vols lose. And the air is almost out of the balloon. Beanstar, on the way out, give me your final thought, and Dubsy and I will take it home from here and get some more calls in.
Tony, appreciate you guys having me on. 25 years ago, I felt just like this. And the only reason I feel a little better tonight is because I don't have to drive home from there after experiencing that. And 25 years ago, I had to drive home and didn't have the Smart Way Garza fifth quarter to listen to get home. So this is not a good night. That's a hard loss to take, and it'll be a hard one to overcome.
Bino, thank you, brother. And you're a hard habit to break, brah. Thanks. Mark David Hall says the following. We've got a legit chance to win every game left we play. Far cry from years without a bowl. Don't forget so easy. Butch right now is tied to Dobbs. Is it his ceiling or Butch's? The Butch era will be defined by post-Dobbs. Thoughts on that, Dobbsy? His era is going to be defined by post-Dobbs, not Dobbs.
To me, a good coach is going to be able to adapt his system to the players that he has. So you're telling me that Butch is just waiting for the perfect quarterback? Like, Garantano is going to be this superstar, and, you know, that... What happens if Garantano gets hurt? I mean, we all thought that Dobbs was the perfect quarterback when he first took the job, and now he's been around forever and people are getting sick of him. But I think that, you know, it's year four.
Hardcore Vol 2K16 says, ball doesn't bounce right against App State, Virginia Tech. Florida doesn't shit the bed. Hail Mary at Georgia. We could have one win right now. To which I replied in my glib manner. And I could be a supermodel if I was from Brazil, had a smaller nose and bigger muscles. What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, we could sit there and play that game all day long if you want to play that game.
Well,
and I sure don't want to play that game.
Butch Jones would be getting set to collect his $10 million buyout.
Yeah. 865-200-5402. As we're hitting the three-hour mark, I want to welcome our next caller in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Yes, welcome in.
Hey, Tony. I'm sorry I missed Bino. I've not been able to actually listen to you in a while because I just found out the other day you had this show, and I'm glad to be back and hear you guys again. Shout out to Brandon in Morristown that told me about y'all's website, so I'm enjoying every minute of this non-state sponsored show where people can tell how they really feel. It's usually you have to go through a little interview process to make sure you don't say something that's wrong. But thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
I appreciate everything you've done for Tennessee football over the last several years. But I know a few people along the way I've met, and a friend I've met here not recently, well, not too long ago, has had tickets in S about 20 rows up. So you know where that's at. And he's had them for about 30 years. And the word is down there, and he knows several people, and he hasn't missed a game all year. He's been to every one of them. And he's a little bit older of a gentleman, and he's got some roots down in that area. The word out of Cincinnati is that Butch was on his way out in Cincinnati when we picked him up. And the problem in Cincinnati with Butch is he could take a five-star recruit and turn him into a three-star recruit. but he couldn't take a three-star recruit and turn him into a five-star recruit. And that was a problem that he had in Cincinnati. And I think that's something that if you can watch is starting to happen. After the last 4 years of him, we should have some hosses on that offensive line. In my opinion, we should have a dominant offensive line after 4 years of his recruiting. But we don't have it. It's not there. And I think you can watch the body languages of the people have said, too. We've got five-star recruits that they don't look like five-star recruits. And another thing, this ready or prepared, he actually said that Thursday night on that state-sponsored radio station. And I thought the same thing to myself, and I came home. I was listening to it on the way home, and I was thinking, well, what is really the difference between being ready and prepared? I think his rhetoric is wearing thin on these players. I think it's wearing thin on the real media of Knoxville, which I think is you, Bino. But I think that's what you're seeing is it's the same stuff over and over and over.
I want to interject here. Butch Jones never got near a five-star recruit at Cincinnati. So,
well, he can't turn a three into a five.
Nobody can turn a three into a five, except Rick Barnes.
But he had some very good recruiting classes for Cincinnati. I think he can get the players.
No, actually, he didn't. Actually, at Cincinnati, they turned guys that were three-star players into pros, like the Connor Barwins of the world and...
Well, how many
like
players
that?
Left Cincinnati while Butch was there? There's a starter on Michigan.
Guys.
And there's a starter at Ohio State.
That left Cincinnati and went to Ohio State?
Well, that's coming from a guy who's followed Tennessee football forever
and
knows a lot of ins and outs.
I'm here to tell you, that guy's feeding you a bunch of bull. I mean, I don't know any way to say that to you now. Some of your other criticisms of the guy are right, but the whole thing about the three-star and the five-star, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense, because Cincinnati will not fish in the same pond that Ohio State fishes in and that Michigan fishes in, and there is no players on Cincinnati's roster when they get there that Ohio State or Michigan wants. That's just the way it is. Now, there might be some guys transfer out of Ohio State and end up there, just like Kembrell Tompkins left USC and ended up at Cincinnati at the end of his career there. But the bottom line...
Well, what about right now on our roster, players, our juniors that are Butch's prize recruits?
That's right.
Well, who do you have? You have Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our biggest.
Who's a great player.
Best player on the team. Mm-hmm. The best by far. Mm-hmm. Your running back who had 8 touches today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he might be trying to wait for the NFL to declare pro? He was a great catch, mm-hmm. but there's definitely something that's not right with him. I don't know if he's just sandbagging to go to the combine or not. But you've got Barnett.
Yeah, look.
And that's your NFL roster right now, what we have.
Well, I mean, but I don't know how fair that is. I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, Sutton is an NFL prospect. Barnett's an NFL prospect. Jalen Hurd's an NFL prospect. Kamara.
I think Jalen Hurd might be.
Kamara is, he'll play in the NFL. Kamara's an NFL prospect.
Yeah.
Malone and Jennings, probably NFL
Malone
prospects.
And Jennings.
Oh, Jennings, definitely.
Tuttle.
So,
Jennings, definitely.
McKenzie. Yeah.
I don't know about... No, not McKenzie. No. Not on defense.
He's a wash.
No, not on defense.
Kirkland's
an
NFL prospect to me.
Yeah, Kirkland is. Reeves Maben's not, I don't think, because he has too many injury issues. I'm hearing he's going to come back next year, and he's little anyway.
Well, but, I mean, I think the point here is Butch, like, you can't... you can't knock the recruiting. I mean,
no.
He's done fine recruiting, particularly when you consider their record and all that stuff. He's recruited really well, and now it's time to put it all together. And if you can't do it, then
the problem is we've had a ton of injuries, which have really taken the steam out of this year. But still, even with the injuries, tonight's game should just never happen. There's just no excuse.
But after four years of these recruiting classes, we should have, just like Alabama, well, pretty close to that.
No.
We should have a junior or a sophomore who is ready and prepared, like he said.
The depth.
But they're not there.
Yeah, but you're comparing them to Alabama. Look at everybody.
I'm not really meaning that. I'm meaning after 4 years.
Okay, look at everybody.
You have seniors, juniors, sophomores, freshmen that are lined up, ready to play behind them.
And that's great. But if you look at everybody else in the league, if they would have had the type of injuries we've had, except for Alabama, they'd be slogging through this year like we are right now. And I'm not excusing what happened tonight. I'm not. But,
yeah,
your point is that we're not developing guys like we should be, and that is a point well taken, because there's a lot of truth to that. And the other thing that bothers me about this team is we've got a lot of guys hurt, and yet we've got young kids on defense that aren't playing. And the reason I think they're not playing is the damn thing's too complicated. And if that's the case, simplify your system. Period. But I appreciate the call, and it's great talking with you, and thanks for reconnecting. And I didn't mean to rain on your parade or throw shade at you.
I'll have more ducks in a row the next time I call. But guess what? It is 2:00 in the morning.
You got that right, brother. I'm no picnic myself right now. Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Have a good one.
I'm lucky that I can remember my name's Tony Basilio. He's Russell Smith. And Russell, how do they find you during the week, my friend?
I do a show here in Knoxville weekdays from 3 to 6 on Fox Sports Knoxville, 1340 AM here in town, online at foxsportsknoxville.com.
I want to take the Periscopers inside here. That's all lines currently jammed.
How long could we do this tonight? 5:00 in the morning? Easy?
Yeah. We're hitting the 3-hour mark, and, well, I've about had enough. I'm getting really close.
It's a brutal loss, man.
What sucks about what we do? Before you expound on that.
No, go ahead.
Because I'm ready to shut this damn thing down. And here's why. People think that what we do is fed by negativity. Has doing your show since you've been on the air ever been more fun than it was after that Florida win?
No.
No. It's not even close.
No, man.
I've already seen
some on Twitter. It's like, you know, people, I can't even deal with it. I don't want to listen to the negativity and stuff like that. No, I mean, we're in the business of getting listeners and creating an audience. I don't want to do, you know, people in this town are hungry for a championship. They want it. And, you know, if this team goes south again, they're, you know, it's not like we got a great basketball season to look forward to coming up. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Oh, man. People ask me, are you going to do your post game after basketball? Why?
Are you really not going to do it?
Hell no. No. You know how much I love basketball. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk about Rick Barnes, who's not trying. Wow. Let's go to the phones. What's incredible, somebody's making the point right now, is that with all the injuries we had, we still have a chance at the end of that game. With all the injuries this team has, that's how bad South Carolina is. That's how bad the East is. We played a D-minus game tonight. Had a kick return that kept us in the game, and still almost won that game. And if it's not for that kickoff return, there is no football game. You talk about a depressing football game. That was a terrible terrible loss for Tennessee. There's no couching that.
Just brutal.
That's a kick to the balls is what that is.
One of the most deflating losses of all time.
You know what it's like? Tonight I was thinking about a play that was emblematic of that game. And tonight, Barry, when he got that kicked in the face,
yeah,
that's what that game felt like.
That's something you'll never see again.
No.
Have you ever seen a guy's shoe go through the face mask?
Face mask.
I've never seen that.
No. I didn't think that was possible.
Only.